Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in a crazy tale of storm shipwrecks and castaways at sea in Acts chapter 27. After all, who doesn't like a swashbuckling tale or vagabonding adventures across a map? We've all set out to get somewhere and wound up taking unplanned detours. Acts 27 is filled with twists and turns, as Paul's journey to Rome falls prey to the mercy of the wind and weather. But mercy is exactly what we find at every turn in this chapter, as we'll see. Verse 1. When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the imperial regiment. There's a saying, if you want to make God laugh, tell him all your plans. And it would seem like the plans of the centurion and the ship's captain were a joke. Over the next few verses, playing trains, planes, and automobiles for weeks, Paul's captors just can't catch a break. Trying to catch a wave through the Mediterranean, they have to keep seeking safe harbor to avoid shipwreck. Time was running out for safe travel as winter was approaching, so Paul speaks up to the crew in verse 9. Much time has been lost, and sailing has already become dangerous because by now it was after the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned them, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo, and to our own lives also." But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed the lee of a small island called Cotta, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure, so the men hoisted it aboard. When they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Have you ever been in a place where everyone around you has lost hope? I can remember a time when someone in one of my church plants shared a burden from God. It was 9 months before the 2006 housing crash. They said, "There's a coming economic crisis. People are going to lose their jobs, homes, and marriages. But God doesn't want us to panic, but to know that He's going to bring a lot of people to Himself through this tragedy. When they have nothing else, they will look to Him. But for us, He wants us to look to Him and get peace in the storm, like He was our lighthouse." In the midst of this storm, Paul stands up like a beacon of light and gives hope to the hopeless sailors in verse 21. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now, I urge you to keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep your courage, men, for I have found faith in God that it will happen just as He told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" At the mercy of the elements, Paul tells them they found mercy from the God who, quote, "has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you." And they were about to get saved from so much more than a shipwreck. Verse 27, the tale continues. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea, when about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found the water was at 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would soon be dashed against the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. Those no good, low down, dastardly sailors were trying to escape the doomed ship, and they would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for that meddling Paul. At Paul's word, Julius the centurion cuts the lifeboats away. Already he's starting to show faith in the God of Paul. Already people on board are praying, even if it means praying for daylight. Already things are starting to change. But as they've been trying not to use their rations, Paul finally urges them to eat in verse 33. Just before dawn, Paul urged them to eat. "For the last 14 days," he said, "you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. Do you see how they listen to Paul? It's not the captain or the centurion who's in charge anymore. It's the God Paul worships, the one who commands the wind and the waves. Now he's in charge of this voyage, and they obey his commands as Paul instructs them. Not all of them had faith at this point, of course, but Paul's faith, like that beacon of light, like that lighthouse, is enough to carry them through, to see them through their own personal storm, until finally they hit a hidden sandbar, and the ship finally does what Paul said it would do. It busts up into tiny pieces. 276 lives altogether, many of them prisoners, and every single one of them owed Paul their lives. If not for Paul, all the prisoners would have been dead again. Here's why in verse 42. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Just like Paul said, again, God gets Paul out of a jam, and luckily, the rest were along for the ride. Paul had places to go, people to see. He was told by the angel he must testify in Rome, a good reminder of what God had already promised. Therefore, Paul was spared multiple deaths along this journey. But so were the others. They too were saved from death, and some were probably saved from their sins. God wasn't done showing mercy to the crew. Not yet. But you have to read on to see what happens next time on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.